Shem Yishmua Parshas Tazria, Parshas Achodesh, Rosh Chodesh Nisan this Shabbos, Tavshanai and Vav. Okay, the Parsha begins, of course, with the Yoledes. The Tumah of the Yoledes, the Tar of the Yoledes, the Karbanos of the Yoledes. And our good friend the Shem Yishmuel, a little less than 100 years ago, said the following. V'chiper alea kohen v'tahir. The kohen will bring about the kapara, the tara, for the isha. But the tara sayoledes is a long process. There's really three stages in the tara sayoledes. Hine shlosha chaluke tahara heim bioledes. Acher shiva, tahora labala, u, le, have a look inside. I'm asking for a little help, please. Acher shiva tahor labala u le meiser sheni. That's right. Meiser sheni. It's what we've been learning about. After 7 days, she's permitted to her husband and to eat meiser sheni. Acher arba'im nitara af letruma. Afterwards, she's able to be permitted for truma, if she's an Eishes Kohen. And then the third stage is she brings her karbanos, ayideh harvas, a karban, nitara lekodesh ulemikdash. Vine, bilakute atorah me'arizal, himshul et yisiyas Yisrael mimitzrayim kedugmas leidas havlad. Now we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that. And we're going to try to learn it somewhat be'ian through the eyes of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, who's known as the Pesh Shlishi of the Vilna Gaon. Right? The third hand of the Vilna Gaon. I know pet doesn't mean hand, but third hand of the Vilna Gaon in the sense that the Vilna Gaon had a Talmud, Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov, who had a Talmud, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. And we're going to see at length today from his Haggadah an unbelievable Arichus in this Arizal. But before we get to that, the Arizal tells us that Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim was like the birth of a child. Ayin Sham, Parsha Shmos, Barichus. V'yesh lomar, dekemo sheyoledes yesh bashlosha chalukei tara, achinestalkum mena lagamri tumas haleida. Just like the Isha Yoledes has to undergo three different stages of purification, so too Klal Yisrael. Kach hayu li Yisrael shlosha chalukei tara mitumas Mitzrayim. We had to undergo a three-step process to free ourselves from tumas Mitzrayim. What were those three steps? Aleph. Hinei b'yitzias Mitzrayim k'siv. Ve'yehi b'shalach paro asa'am. When Paro sent the nation free. Once heard an insight. Ve'yehi, the Gemara says in Megillah, sometimes is good and sometimes is bad. Ve'yehi b'mei is bad, ve'haya is good. Ve'yehi can be bad. What was ve'yehi b'shalach paro asa'am? What's bad about that? What's bad about that is either A, the thought that it's Paro who's setting you free, as opposed to a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's setting you free. That's certainly a little bit off. That it was when Paro sent the people out. Hashem took us out. Wasn't Paro sending us out? So that perspective is a little bit off. But says the Shem Yishmu, I'll go one step further. What's wrong with Vayi B'Shalach Paro Sa'am? Paro sent Esa'am, with the Am. That means Paro was still attached to the Am. That even when we left Mitzrayim, we hadn't really left Mitzrayim yet. The Medrash says that Paro escorted us out of Mitzrayim. So says the Shem Yishmuel, my holy father taught me. V'higid kvod kedushas avi admor zatzal, my father, the Avnei Nezer, explained. Dehainu, she'adayin hayim mischaber imayim. Even when we left Mitzrayim, it was vayi b'shalach Paro esam. The Paro was still trailing behind, he was still connected to us. V'kavanaso hara, shutum aso od terachif aleim lemashchem birishto, lachzor l'mitzrayim. Paro wanted to show the Jews that even when you thought you were out, you're not really out. And in a certain sense, that would be the most broken thing of all. The realization that even after I've gone free, I'm not free. Then they would really throw in the towel, and that in that way, he would grab them in his net and pull them back to Mitzrayim. And he chased after them until Kriyas Yamsuf, and there was a feeling of Klal Yisrael, why did we leave Mitzrayim? Wouldn't it have been better to be slaves in Mitzrayim than to die here by the Yam? But finally we came to Kriyas Yamsuf, Sha'oz Nifrda Mehem Tumas Mitzrayim. At Kriyas Yamsuf we transitioned. We had finally severed our connection, the Mitzrayim were dead, and you'll never see them again, like the Pasuk says. Oslam Shivas Hayam, him Dugmas Shivas Hayam Shal Yolades, Shadayin Bechol Chomer Tum Asa. Those days leading up to Kriyas Yamsuf are like those 7 days where the woman is counting to purify herself to both her husband and to Achilas Maiser Sheni. Uve Kriyas Yamsuf, he sigu Tahara Rishon, Akadimion Yolades, Shenetara Labal, the Maiser Sheni. So at the Yam was the mikvah. The Isha went to the mikvah. She counted 7 days, she goes to the mikvah. Good. Kain Hochstru Yisrael, top of the left column, Leshira, Vidvekus, Vashem Yisbach, Ula Achilas Haman. Now, to be able to explain this in a true way, and at the same time to explain it in a delicate and sensitive way, you have to understand what that means. Right? After the Isha goes to the mikvah, she's intimate with her husband. It's the same thing here. After Klal Yisrael went to the mikvah, they came to a place of Shira, and Dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zek Keli Va'anveyu, Maran Oso Be'etzba, to be able to attach themselves to Hashem, the same way the Isha with Mitaharis is attaching herself to her husband. Ula Achilas Haman. Achilas Haman also, again to say it in a very delicate way, also has an element of what? Has a very intimate element to it. Because if you understand, like I've told you many times from the Ramban, that man is shechina in an edible form, it's ziv hashechina shenizgashim, the Ramban says, right? It's literally the ziv hashechina, it's the radiance of the shechina that has nizgashim, that has taken on a physical substance, the man. So when a person eats the man, and the other Svarim talk about this, to think about this also in terms of Pesach, when a person eats matzah, right, and you take the shechina and you place it inside of yourself, obviously that's a very intimate chibur that's taking place. Okay? So that's what took place when Klal Yisrael went to the mikvah by the Yam. Umi'oz ad Rosh Chodesh Sivan kivom lifnei Har Sinai v'ro as mara kvod Hashem ke'isho cheles b'ro shahar le'nei b'nei Yisrael. Like the Gemara says in Yoma, v'yishkon kvod Hashem mirosh chodesh. V'ad rosh chodesh hayik edimion yosheves al dam tahor. So again, what was the second stage? The first stage is count 7 days, go to the mikvah, kriyas yamsuf, and then the ishos muteres labala and tamayser sheni. The next stage is Klal Yisrael coming to Har Sinai. And those are the days of the dam tahor, right? The pure blood that a woman might see. Again, b'zman hazeh we don't have such a thing. But Medina the Torah, Medina the Raisa, we have such an Indian of Dam Tar that she could be seeing blood, and the blood does not make her prohibited to her husband.
We
took our relationship to the next level when we made a commitment to Hashem prior to Kabbalah Satorah. And that was the acceptance. Truma is eaten by who? Who's Truma eaten by? Yeah, it's great that we're doing this piece this week, you know? Truma, the Truma is eaten by the Kohen. So we became Mamleches Kohanim. We made a commitment to sign up for Kabbalah Satorah. That was taking place in those earliest days of what? Of Chodesh Sivan. And then lastly, stage three, V'achar kach b'chamisha l'chodesh, she'krivu olos u'zvachim, when they brought karbanos, v'chati adam zar kal mizbeach, v'chati adam al ha'am, that scene described at the end of Mishpatim, which according to some Rishonim took place Kodem Kabbalah Satorah, where part of the blood was sprinkled on Klal Yisrael and part of the blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, that is the Karban Hayoledes. And in that process, she becomes what? She becomes fully fit for Kodesh and Mikdash, or in Klal Yisrael's history, what does that mean? The highest level of chibur that we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, not just Shira, not just Achilas Laman, not just Nasa Venishma, Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Nasa, but rather Kabbalah Satorah, which took place the very next day on the 6th of Sivan. Okay? So this is the connection between the Tara Sayuledes and the Tara that Klal Yisrael underwent in coming to Kabbalah Satorah. Now there's a few different aspects that are taking place here. Standing at Har Sinai was a wedding. We're being Matar and Isha Labala. We're making a bond between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael on the level of husband and wife. But then we're also talking about the birth of Klal Yisrael. That somehow the nation was being born out of Mitzrayim, like a newborn. Okay? And lastly, we'll see that there's a third aspect, which is a sense of miluim, The same way that there's an inauguration when the Mishkan was built and when the Beis HaMikdash was built, Klal Yisrael also are being inaugurated. So I want to talk about all three dimensions. Primarily the one that he was merames to from the Arizal, the birth of Klal Yisrael. But of course to understand also that the separation from our marriage, so to speak, to Mitzrayim, to then be able to marry Hashem, is a big part of this purification process. Okay, turn to page 2. The Maharal in Tiferes Yisrael and Perek Chaf. The Maharal quotes a Medrash, where the Medrash says, commenting on B'chodesh HaShlishi, we left Mitzrayim in Nisan, Iyar Sivan. We got the Torah at the beginning of Sivan. So it was in the third month after leaving Mitzrayim, not 3 full months, but it was the third month, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, that we got the Torah. Says the Medrash, why in the third month? Why not the fourth month? Why not the second month? Medrash quotes Rav Hoshea, who said the following, that a giores, or a shvuya, or a shivcha, that's mishuchreres, a woman who converts, or a person who is taken captive, or a maid, a servant, who goes free, has to undergo a process before they can get married. What is that process? We know there's a process when a woman gets divorced. We want to make sure, before she gets remarried, we want to determine if she's pregnant or not. Because if she gets married right away, and she gets pregnant from the second husband, we won't know for sure, is the child that she's carrying from the first husband, or from the second husband. So in order to create that buffer zone, we ask for a period of waiting of 3 months. Says the Maharal, expounding on this medrash, the second paragraph, Mi'inyan ze, mashma, Ki tzarech gimel chadashim laharchik mimasha hayutchila mishubadim tachas reshus Mitzrayim. The Jewish people, just like a woman who converts, or an indentured servant who goes free, right, or someone who was taken captive and may have been abused by their captors, so too the Jewish people needed to undergo a process, a waiting period of 3 months to come to Kabbalah Satorah. Ulefi madregas umbalas Satorah. Ein roi shetinasin liYisrael rak barachokim in azman asher hayu mishubadim tachas reshus Mitzrayim. Because of the chashivas of Torah, because at Har Sinai you could say we married Hashem, you could say we married the Torah, however you want to say it. But at that moment, there was a deep chibur, a new attachment that was taking place, and therefore we needed to sever our ties with our old lover or our old captor or our old parent. To become the children of Hashem. Whatever mashal you want to use, the Chazal use all those mashalim. But we needed to undergo a period of separation. And the Maharal says that period of separation is 3 months. The same way, a woman who converted, it could be she wasn't as careful in Inyanei Arayos when she was still living her secular life. Now she's a Jewish woman. She underwent a proper Torah conversion. So we say, listen, we don't know what you were doing before you converted. We want to make sure you're not pregnant. We ask her to wait a series of 3 months. Okay? So now you'll say, but hold on a second. We didn't wait a full 3 months. V'af kinasan lam Torah tosh shalosh chadashim. If you'll say, it wasn't 3 full months. It was part of Nisan, all of Iyar, and part of Sivan. V'agiyoris lo tis'aris at acher gimel chadashim. As opposed to the Yoras who has to wait a full 3 months, says the Maharal, not a problem. Dover ze inyan acher. Ki teikav shahaya chodesh ha-gimel, nechsha sha'avru gimel chadashim, demiksas kikulo. Says the Maharal, we didn't need to wait a full 3 months. We need to wait a part of 3 months. What's the pshat? Says the Maharal in the bottom paragraph on page 2. Va'af agav dahasam tayim mahavi mishum havchana. By the Gioras, we want to be able to determine, to check her, to see if in fact she's pregnant, and that requires 3 full months. Delo shaya chachtayim abakan. Even though on the realm of Drush, we're undergoing that same process, we want to make sure that we're not pregnant from the Tumas Mitzrayim. But says the Maharal, the Mashal and the Nimshal are not exactly the same. And therefore what? For the Gioras, she needs to wait a full 3 months. For a Jew to come to Kabbalah Satorah, he needs to wait a portion of 3 months. Part of Nisan, all of Iyar, and part of Sivan, and that was enough to get them ready. Because, says the Maharal, the concept of 3 months, the idea of 3 months, is that 3 months is considered a significant entity in time. That's what we learn from this idea of Havchana. that a woman who is previously married has to wait 3 months before entering into a new relationship. So once we've established that this idea of 3 months means an entity of time, so too, says the Maharal, when the Jews left Mitzrayim, we wanted them to undergo a similar process. That they should have a shaychus to waiting 3 months. But it doesn't have to be a full 3 months to come to Kabbalah Satorah. But again, once again, what do you see? You see that there's this process of being Mitai or Klal Yisrael in order to come and to be able to stand tachas the chuppah, right, of the Kafalei Markegigis, to be able to be Roy Lekach, to be worthy of Torah, we have to undergo some type of purification process. Okay, let's turn to page 4. From the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Okay, I have a strong feeling that Or HaChaim HaKadosh is going to be our Rebbe on Thursday next year. I have a strong feeling. It might be a different format. It might be that we'll just learn many pieces on each Parsha, like the best pieces in each Parsha from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Which means I have a big summer project to learn all of Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Okay, so we'll have to see how that goes. Okay, but the Or HaChaim HaKadosh wrote a commentary on Nach called the Rishon LeTzion. And in the Rishon LeTzion on Mishlei, he says something that I thought would be, it's a little bit different than what we're talking about, but I think it's still relevant. Again, we're talking about the three stages of a woman purifying herself after giving birth. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says there are also three types of aveiros that require purification. And it's very nogei lemaisa because we're all thinking in terms of what? In terms of kashering ourselves and kashering our homes for Pesach. And we know that different types of kalim require different types of kashering. Take a look what he writes on page 4. He's commenting on Mishlei Perek Beis. V'timsa kenege gimel dvar malalu yesh gimel aveiros ba'adam. There's three types of aveiros that a person does, and each one requires a different type of purification in order to no longer be connected to that aveiro. Ki yesh aveiros asher yasa adam v'yaspik lo atvila. Just like there are certain kalim, if you used it for something, right? Let's say you put a cold, non-kosher item on it. So it's enough to just rinse it off. We're not concerned that it absorbed anything. It's enough to be tovelet, or if you just acquire a vessel, right? Tfilas kalim. You acquire a vessel that was made by Gentiles, it has to be dipped in a mikvah. It doesn't need to be put in any fires or hot scalding waters. Tfila. So there's certain types of averos where it's enough to just rinse yourself off. V'yesh al yedei hagala. Sometimes a person needs boiling water. V'yesh al yedei libun ha'esh. Sometimes you need a blowtorch. Sometimes you need a fire. V'heim elu. Ha'tfila hi b'mayim arba imsa. V'zeh yo'el ha'kasher yachshov adam machshavos ro'os asher lo se'asena. When a person has, he didn't do an avera, b'po'el, but he had a thought. He had a bad machshava. So what does he do? Tzarech litbo b'mayim lahavir machshava ola al rucho. So he dips in the mikvah, he immerses himself in mayim, and that can recreate him. Again, he hasn't done anything so bad that there's any traces of it. Only a superficial thought of an idea. And therefore, he can rinse it away by going to the mikvah. Okay, fine. But sometimes you need what? Sometimes you need. There's been a bliya, there's been an absorption. We're concerned that some of the chametz, some of the yetzer hara, some of the substance of sin was absorbed within the person. The example he gives is, let's say a person what? The same way that my kli absorbed, right, something not kosher. So too, the person, let's say, I ate something not kosher. So that's become a part of me. It's been absorbed within me. My body has absorbed the substance of sin the same way that what, the vessel absorbed that non-kosher food item. So therefore, zetzar hagala. Person needs hagala. How do you do hagala on your guf? However, how do you do hagala on your guf? Turn to the top of page 5. The way to do hagala on your guf, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, is fasting. Fasting. How do I get that forbidden food out of my body? I fast. The body becomes challenged by the fast, and through that fasting, it will what? It will expunge, it will push out the iser. Okay. V'zeh yoser tovlo v'lo tibaka kreiso kasher lo tucha lisbol giulea bakever v'tishafeich lo apanav V'myagil harei palateisim. Okay, fine. These other options which we're not going to get into. Fine. V'yesh dvarim shebaluim b'yavish bor. And then there are things that are cooked dry over a fire. Yeah? I roasted it. I roasted a piece of ham. Nu? Over the fire. So therefore, I need libun. I need fire. I need whitening. V'eilohim. What are those types of averos that are really severe? That are really cooked inside of a person. Hamoti shechva zera, va'koes, va'marchik divrei chazal shelo lahamin bahem. Interesting three categories he puts together. A person with moti zera levatala, a person who gets angry, and a person who pushes away the sages and denies the authenticity of their words. V'chol zechote ba'esh. That's a fiery sin. Because each one of those takes a little bit of fire. To be moti zera levatala, warming the body in sin, koes, becoming angry, passionately angry, and a person who what? Who has a fire of chutzpah burning inside of him to reject the words of Chazal. So how does he purify himself? And the reason I'm showing this to you is to mechazik ourselves, that we should finish this man in a strong way. The strongest type of hechsher kelim for the biggest of eras is libun. And libun is esek haTorah b'smidus b'igia shehi esh. To draw on the fire of Torah, to learn it consistently, to learn it with passion, with energy, and yegia, ayidei esha Torah totzi b'liya se'isar shenivla b'gufa adam b'aveira. And through the power of Torah, a person can remove what? Can remove any type of aveira. Even for the biggest aveiras. Even for kas, which the Rambam says one should distance himself from entirely. Even a person who has the kfira of rejecting Chazal. Even a person who's motzi zara levatala, which we know the Zohar Kadosh and Noach and Vayechi has very strong statements about the challenge of cleansing oneself from that aveira. But with Torah, Torah fixes everything. Torah mamish can fix everything. Okay? So three types of Tara. Again, another way of looking at these three dimensions of Tara. But let's come back to our Rebbe, the Shem Yishmuel, in Parsha Shemos, and try to understand, and then we'll see what Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver has to say by Arichus about the birth of Klal Yisrael. What was hard about giving birth to Klal Yisrael? Yeah?
Can you explain the Yigiyah?
What does that mean? What is Yigiyah Satorah? What does it mean to you, Tommy? What does working hard in Torah mean? It can mean a lot of different things. It can mean in terms of the amount of time a person learns. It can be the degree of concentration with which one learns. It could be trying to challenge myself to care a lot about Maaser Sheni, even though it seems kind of foreign to us. Right? There's a lot of things that a person, right? Some people think Yigiyas HaTorah means, you know, if I get to a hard word in the Gemara, I look it up in a dictionary as opposed to looking it up in an art scroll. I never fully bought into that mahalach in Yigiyas HaTorah. I don't know that you get more schar for taking time to turn more pages to find the word in the dictionary as opposed to the art scroll. But I hear. But whatever it is, different people, different types of Yigiyas HaTorah in terms of hours, in terms of effort, in terms of concentration. Right? He says Tmidus as well, in terms of regularity in our Torah, being consistent in our commitments to Torah. Not waking up every morning trying to decide, yes, no, maybe. To be consistent in Torah is a big inyan. Yeah?
I don't like to take the opposite approach on these things, but we've done it in the past.
Okay, go for it.
So, what do we say about the Sidra Acha and about learning when you learn Torah in the wrong way? And don't we have to be purified before we learn Torah? Sort of saying that
no.
Torah is the purification.
Okay. I mean, yes and no. No, obviously there's an element of Lo Lishma, but Mitol Shel Lo Lishma Ba Lishma. And the Gemara's conclusion is that Torah, like fire, cannot become tummy. Fire cannot become tameh. Yes? Justin, can you confirm that for us? Our Taros expert? Can fire become tameh? Fire cannot become tameh. Okay? Psak. Yeah? So the Gemara says, Ko devarai ke'esh no mashem. The Gemara is a havamina. Right? That a person who's tameh can't learn Torah. The Gemara says, no, it can't be. Torah is like fire. Fire can't become tameh. So you can be the most tameh person in the world, and you're still allowed to study Torah. Yes, of course there's still an element of lo lishma and lishma. Yes, there's an element of a person who turns Torah, like the Gemara in Yoma says, into a sa misa, into poison. So of course there are certain basic prerequisites, but a person who has tumah from averos, that does not automatically cut him off from Torah. It's not a prerequisite, you need to be entirely tar to study Torah. Torah is fire. Fire won't become tame by your tuma. Okay? Says the Shem Yishmuel 101 years ago. Shmos Tafresh Ayin Hay on page 6. What was more difficult for Hashem? It's a funny question. But what was harder for Hashem? Kriyas Yamsuf or Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the Medrash is clear. He quotes a Medrash in the top right-hand corner that the Medrash says, just like the Sneh that Hashem appeared to Moshe in, the Sneh is a very difficult bush, a very painful bush. A bird who lands in a Sneh and gets caught amongst the thorns, not a pleasant experience, right? And it's difficult to get out, to free oneself from a thorn bush. So too, says the Medrash, where it's underlined, Kach Haya. Shibud Mitzrayim kosher lefnei amakum mikol ha-shibudim shebaolam. So too, Shibud Mitzrayim was difficult like no difficulty that ever was. Getting out of Mitzrayim was a very difficult thing. Says the Shem Yishmuel, I need to understand the following. Yesh lahavin, v'chi yesh davar kosher lefnei amakum. Number one, what is difficult or not difficult mean when I talk in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu achieving something? Halo kol ha-goyim ka'ayin negdo. Right? It's Ephes, it's Toh, it's nothing. Nothing gets in Hashem's way. So what does that mean? And furthermore, the Medrash says, later on, in Medrash Rabbah, the Medrash says, Uma bein yitzias Mitzrayim l'kriyas Yamsuf, el she yitzias Mitzrayim kasha, and kriyas Yamsuf was not as difficult. Right? That's why by Mitzrayim it says Hashem's name, it says Anochi Hashem Elokecha, who took you out of Mitzrayim, but by kriyas Yamsuf you don't need to be mazkiras Hashem. Yeah? Yeah? So which is harder, Kriyas Yamsuf or Yetzias Mitzrayim? Yetzias Mitzrayim is harder than Kriyas Yamsuf. So maybe just parenthetically, since we have this chus of hearing Dr. Pelkovitz this week speak about how to find a wife and how to make sure you continue that relationship in a healthy way. Yeah? So the Gemara says at the beginning of what? At the beginning of Masechet Sota, that sometimes when it comes to Zivugim, it's Kosher Lezavkun Kriyas Yamsuf. It's hard for Hashem to make Shidduchim like Kriyas Yamsuf. But we just saw the Medrash. Kriyas Yamsuf's not hard by Hashem. Yetzias Mitzrayim was hard by Hashem. That was difficult. Kriyas Yamsuf's not hard, so I guess it's not so hard for Hashem to help you find your Shidduch. So those of us who are looking, should be zochah to find, you should find your Zivug in the right time and in the right way. Okay? But what does it mean? What does it mean that Yetzias Mitzrayim was hard for Hashem? And what does it mean that it was harder than Kriyas Yamsuf? If anything, if you look in the Haggadah, you get the impression that it was only Etzpa Elokim. It was only Etzpa Elokim in Mitzrayim, and it was the Yad Hashem. It took, so to speak, more of Hashem's energy by the Yad. So what's going on here? So says the Shem Yishmuel the following Yisod. We know, like we saw earlier, and we're going to explain it more barichus, we know from the Arizal that leaving Mitzrayim was the birth of Klal Yisrael. And to extract Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, the pasuk says, "Lakachas goy mikarev goy." HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to take us goy mikarev goy, a nation within another nation, like a fetus developing inside of its mother's womb. He quotes the Medrash, the bottom paragraph on page 6. V'nira lomar al pi ma'amaram. He quotes the Medrash Shochar Tov. Lavo lakachas lo goy mikarev goy. Keroa shahoshit yado lemei behema. Like a cattle farmer who has to literally reach in and help the mama cow give birth to her baby, so to a Kadosh Baruch Hu had to, so to speak, reach into Mitzrayim and to extract us from there. So we were like an animal developing within another animal. The biggest animal of all. The most dangerous animal of all, Mitzrayim. Right? And yet we were its child. We were the child of Mitzrayim. Rather, we were ke'uber b'me'ei behema. We were like a baby animal inside of the mother animal. That's goy mikarev goy. So what's the challenge of getting us out of Mitzrayim? Says the Shem Yishmuel, and again, nothing's challenging for Hashem, but here is the, kiv'yachol, here was the challenge. The challenge was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to, at the same time, kill the mother and give birth to the baby, and bring the child out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to send Makos, which on the one hand would be destroying Mitzrayim, and at the same time, to in a safe and healthy way, extract the child. That's a very great difficulty. Look what he writes at the top of the left column. Ulufiya Amar Yuvana Koshi should be Tsias Mitzrayim, Yosem Mikola Shibudim. Sheba Olam said normally by any other Shibud, Shaisukumaat, Shnea Fachim Benose Echad. The problem here by Mitzrayim is that you have two opposites simultaneously. Shnea Fachim Benose Echad. Two opposites that have to simultaneously exist. That what? Shamaka Paula be Mitzrayim, Umikol Makom, Yisrael Shabem Kidimion Havlad, the baby. In that mother called Mitzrayim, lo nagabem amaka l'ra, that the baby wouldn't be affected by it. That's a very frightening thing. When my wife was pregnant with our first child, they found a cyst in her body, and she had to have a surgical procedure to have it removed. But she was pregnant at the time; she was, I think, 13 weeks pregnant. And that's a very delicate procedure when you're performing an operation, right? Anywhere near a baby that's being developed. That's a very delicate procedure. So you're trying to destroy a foreign body that doesn't belong, while at the same time, you're trying to make sure that you don't, God forbid, harm that the child, that fetus that's developing. So it was very difficult, kiviyachol, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to, on the one hand, destroy Mitzrayim, to kill the mother, while at the same time protecting the baby. Okay? And that's the gewaldic, you know, madrega. That with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the expert surgeon, was able to protect us in Mitzrayim, that we should be able to be born in a healthy way, while at the same time Mitzrayim, which is the mother, the carrier, is going to be completely destroyed. Okay, so let's try to understand this inyan of the birth of Klal Yisrael through the eyes of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. Again, I told you Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver was what we consider a third kli from the Vilna Gaon. Right? The Vilna Gaon is the kli Rishon. The Kli Sheni, who the Vilna Gaon poured his Torah into, was Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov. And then Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov had a Talmud, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. So that's why he's often referred to as the Pesh Shlishi to the Gra. He's the third mouth. He's right, a direct line of the teachings of the Vilna Gaon. Yeah, Rami.
If Hashem's hand wasn't there, isn't that harder? Because the more he's into something, that means the more he's there. If he's not... You don't see him, then it's harder.
Okay.
Be more difficult.
Yeah. Well, Hashem had to. Well, we'll see. We'll see why Anivalo Shliach. Why Hashem had to be the one to actually take us out of Mitzrayim. Right. It's all very much connected to this inyan of the birth of Klal Yisrael. Okay. But yeah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu had to come. And again, nothing's hard for Hashem. But the what Chazal are reflecting in the Medrash, the challenge of Yitzias Mitzrayim, is on the one hand to protect Klal Yisrael when we're mamish a goy mikarev goy. Where Mamash dwelling inside of Mitzrayim in a very deep way. And to be able to sever that connection, like we saw, that process of cutting ourselves free from Mitzrayim, was not a simple thing. Okay? So let's take a look at the Haggadah Shel Pesach Yad Mitzrayim from Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. I gave you quite a few pages from it. Obviously, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside. I'm just going to point out highlights. But I wanted to give you the whole thing because it's really kedai to have. And you might want to take this with you on Shabbos afternoon and read through it more slowly. It's unbelievably kedai to read inside. And to understand the precision with which this mashal of the birth of Klal Yisrael plays itself out. It's mamish very precise, mamish like a birth. Okay, let's take a look. Page 7. V'yadu v'asher kasev Arizal. Shem Yishmuel quoted for us the comment of the Arizal. She'inyan galus Mitzrayim. It's like a pregnancy, it's like the development of the child, and then eventually the birth of the child. Many psukim in Tanakh make this comparison, right, of Klal Yisrael being born out of Mitzrayim. Ki chala gam yalda tzion es banea. Roni akara lo yalada ki rabin b'nei shomema. All these psukim are being ramis to birth and being ramis to Klal Yisrael's birth out of Mitzrayim. Va'amart bil vaveich mi yalad li es eila. Hey, where did you come from? You came from Mitzrayim. V'hu shekamo sha'isha b'meher yona havlad misrakeim v'nivna b'vitna b'sidr evar avu prakav. The same way that as the child is beginning to develop and to take on form and to take on shape, it's taking place within the mother's womb. Va'af she'ein havlad nira l'chutz. And even though initially when the woman is pregnant, the child, right, the child to be is fully there. Everything the child needs to exist is already there. But you don't see it. You can't recognize it. And as time goes on, it becomes more recognizable. And then eventually the time comes when the child says, Rabbi Yitzchak HaTzachover, the last line, Az yotze l'chutz mi beten imo, turn the page, v'nasa odem bifnei atzmo. At first, the child, again, there's stages, and he's gonna be marach. But at first, the child, right, when the woman first gets pregnant, no one knows she's pregnant, you can't see she's pregnant. Then the child starts to be bole. The child is still within the woman, but what? It's recognizable that there's the child in there, even though it's still within its mother. And then eventually the child emerges and becomes an independent entity. So too, Klal Yisrael underwent that same process in Mitzrayim. Okay, look what he says, top of page 8. The Gemara in Yavama says that an uber is yarech imo, that the unborn fetus is just considered a limb of its mother, an extension of its mother. Okay, ukamokein tachlis kavanas galus Mitzrayim haya kedei lahashlim binyan ha'uma azos. We need it to be formed within Mitzrayim. Shetia ruah lechol aleh shemo yisparch v'ashras shchinaso biyichud gamor. It's an unbelievable paradox. Why would Hashem want us to go to the most unholy place in the world in order to develop ourselves to then be able to what? To attach ourselves to Him. But again, it's Dira B'tachtonim. It's everything we learned about a month ago. B'li shum emtzayim afsik b'neim. In order to come to complete attachment to Hashem, we have to undergo a process of development in Mitzrayim. Shu emtzos ateva v'shlivas hamadrigas halyonos, as we'll explain. Okay? By the arrow. The child is developing in a very strange environment. It's a meitzar. It's a very right tight environment. The child is squished and compressed within its mother. And it's a place that's a very unusual place to develop. It's a place that's mizuham umaus. Right? It's taking place in a very strange way. In seemingly a very physical part of the body. V'ze etzem tikuno. And yet that's the place that the child is formed. Kamo kein nitnu Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. Shu amakom yoser mezua mikol ha'artzos. V'uma yoshev ezba ma'usim u'megunim midosayim yoser mikol uma v'lashom. We had to go to the most unusual place to be born. Asher basar chamor and bisaram. It was Erevas Haaretz. And is dafka there, v'yi sham legoy. Like we say on the Seder night, shahayu mitzuyanim sham. That we became mitzuyan there. The same way, that by way of Erevas Haaretz, again, by way of Erevah, right? That's how the woman becomes pregnant. And that's the place that the baby comes from. When the baby will actually be born, the baby will emerge through the Erevah of the Isha. Through an unusual place, through a place of blood and discharge, things that seem to be very, very impure and unholy, and yet dafka from that place, all good things come to this world. So it says Rabbi Yitzchak HaTzachover, so too Klal Yisrael had to undergo that very same process. Okay, go to the bottom paragraph on page 8. V'chol zeh golus hayal derech hanisayon. Like the Medrash says, Sha'avos hayusim lebanim, v'halichas Avram l'Mitzrayim, v'shenilkachas Sarah sham hayusim liridas Yisrael l'sham. What Klal Yisrael went through in Mitzrayim, Avram had already gone through in his Golus Mitzrayim. When Sarah was taken to Paro's house, ukamoshen nilkacha, where it's underlined, just like Sarah was taken to base Paro, v'lo nagaba, kamo kein hayusol gedurim ba'arayos. The same way that Sarah was not able to be abused by Paro, right, in the first Mitzrayim, even though Paro would have liked that, so too, the Jewish people, we know, Ma'aseh Avosim Lebanim, they were also guarded from Arayos when they came to their Mitzrayim. Okay, turn the page. Page 9. Uvitzchila be'es ha'galas hayu tfeilim l'gavi imam, shi eret Mitzrayim. At first, the same way that when the child is forming within the mother, at first, it's totally unrecognizable. It's entirely tufel to the mother. So too, the Jewish people, initially, were totally absorbed within Mitzrayim. And that's why we were descending lower and lower and lower in our Madrega. Sh'adayin lo nigla aleim shemoa miyuchad shayim misnagim bashkach anefla. They were mamish mitzrim. They were unidentifiably Jewish. Rakayim misnagim medarchei ateva. Right? They were playing by the rules of this world. They were not Hashem's people. And then what happened? As time goes on, the pregnant mother starts to show signs that she's actually carrying something else inside of herself. It's not just her. There's a separate entity that's developing. And then eventually when the baby is born, as we know, as soon as it's time for the baby to come out, it's like such a long process, the 9 months, it's so slow. And then suddenly, all of a sudden the woman starts to feel something and she needs to get to the hospital now. Right? I need to get to the hospital immediately. This child is going to be born in the car if we don't speed up. Right? So that's exactly what happened. It's such a long process of Galus Mitzrayim. And then when the time comes, B'chipazon, the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. It says Rav Yitzchak Isaacov where it's underlined on page 9. Oz yatzu misham ke'uber anishma v'beten imo b'chipazon gadol. Look how it mamish parallels the birth of a child, the birth of Klal Yisrael. That when it's time to be born, we're very suddenly born. Okay? Turn the page again. Again, there's a lot here. Turn to page 10. By the arrow. Ukemosha metzino bi'ibura shel isha yeshlosha zmanim. Just like in the development of the pregnancy of a woman, there are three stages. Harishon zman ha'ibur atzmo. When she first becomes pregnant, sha'adayin lo nigala ha'ubar v'hu behelam ayin. At first, it's unidentifiable that she's pregnant. Right? We don't know anything about it. Two, zman sheini, be'es shekoras leilad, she'oz maschil yizgalos. Then as she begins to show, right? You could say first there's a sign that she's showing signs of her pregnancy. Then she's showing signs that she's ready to give birth. Right? And the child is beginning to emerge. And then there's the zman ha'shlishi, acher she'nolad v'yatza l'chutz, when the child is entirely born. She'oz nizgal l'gami v'nasa odam b'fnei atzmo, v'eino nikra od al shem imo. Even in that moment when the child is first starting to emerge, and the child has yet to fully emerge, it's also Yin Sanhedrin. Right? The famous Rav Chaim Brisker, that maybe some of us have seen before. There's a whole question. What if the baby, as the baby is still emerging, the baby's not out yet, and it becomes threatening to the mother, to the mother's life? Is the child considered a rodef in that moment? Is the child considered an independent entity? On the one hand, it's a child. On the other hand, the child is still an extension of its mother. Right? So how do we view that? So too. Stage 2, she starts to give birth. But stage 3, the child is entirely born. So says Rav Yitzchak Isaacov, the same thing is true when Klal Yisrael were developing Mitzrayim. Harishon, zman hagalus atzmo, sha'adayin lo nigala aleihem shemo hamiyuchad yisbarach. There was no sign. There was no indication that they were anything. Vayutfeilim ubetelim Mitzrayim. They were entirely subsumed within Mitzrayim. They were not an independent entity. Turn the page. Page 11. Now he says, this, pausing within these three stages he's presenting, he says, let me just show you three stages within the Galus itself. He says, Ki geria zaracha be'eretz lo lahem. And you're going to be enslaved there. So again, you see 1, 2, 3 on page 11? 1. V'hainu shetchilas galusim v'sraim, when Yaakov was still alive. Yeah? V'chein echem v'neshvatim, lo hayalem adayin shum avdus klal. There was no sign of work. They weren't doing anything. After that generation died, 2. Achar shemesu kol ador ahu, v'yakom melech v'sraim, but the work was reasonable. 3. The last stage of the Galus, from the time that Miriam was born, those last 86 years or so, then what? From that point and on, as hischil koshi ashibud. That's when things got really bad. So look what Yitzchak Isaacov says. It's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. In a pregnancy, on the top paragraph on page 11, he says, in a pregnancy, the Gemara says in Maseches Nida, the first 3 months, the child is forming in a lower part of the woman. Then the next 3 months, it goes up further, and then the last 3 months it goes up further. The Pashup Shah, again, how we understand this with science today, basically as the child expands and the child gets bigger, it's taking up more space, right? The woman's going to feel more pressure upon herself as she gets closer to the birth. But what he's using this, the way Chazal are explaining it, it seems like as time goes on you're getting deeper and deeper into the Galus, right? As the child is formed, it's getting deeper inside of its mother. And therefore, Klal Yisrael, so we're getting deeper and deeper into the Galus, to the 49th level of Tumah. So you would think it's getting harder and harder to emerge from that place. But says Rav Yitzchak Isaacov, just like when the time comes, the baby is born right away, no matter how deep into the mother it is, when it's time to emerge very swiftly, it totally changes directions and is able to emerge, so too Klal Yisrael. He says where it's underlined. You would think that the Golus was getting worse and worse. It was getting more oppressive as time went on. But that oppression became what? A sign of, when the mother's feeling that heaviness in the ninth month, that means she knows she's getting close to giving birth. V'chol o'ot shenitosef ha'inoi, v'ayim Mitzrayim savurim shebezei yishtaku Yisrael b'neiam. The deeper the Golus got, the more Mitzrayim gained confidence that what? The Jews are never going to leave. But like the mother who's feeling that the weightiness, and a woman might say that. The first couple of months, a woman, when she's pregnant, right? She might be like more okay. And when she gets to the end, when she knows, on one level, she knows, I'm about to give birth any day now, right? But there's a feeling of like, I'm never going to give birth. This is just going to go on forever. That's totally irrational. It's not true at all. So Mitzrayim thought, we've got these Jews forever. They're really developed inside of us. When the reality is, any second now, we're about to emerge, b'chipazon. And that's what he says. Mitzrayim thought, lo yuchlu latzeis od misham la'olam. They're moving in the wrong direction. They're moving farther away, deeper into Erev HaSaaretz. But in truth, every bit of the difficulty was, again, preparing Klal Yisrael and making them closer and closer to the Gula that they would eventually experience. Okay, turn to page 12. And now you'll understand an amazing part of the Haggadah. Why in the Haggadah Shel Pesach do we say, Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo shliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to be the one to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Anyone here learn Maseches Tanis? If you learned the first page of Maseches Tanis, you know the answer to this question. Because there are certain keys that HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusts to no shliach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds on to himself. One of those keys is the key of childbirth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not entrust the key of childbirth to what? To a malach, to a shliach, to anyone other than himself. And therefore, why did Hashem have to be the one to take us out of Mitzrayim? Says Rav Yitzchak Eisenhower, where it's underlined. Shloshim avteichos lo nimsu liyad shliach, ve'echad mehem avteich shel chaya, the key of childbirth, shal piyateva kosha levlad letzteis vimakom tsar. Physically, it doesn't make sense that a full child should be able to emerge from such a small opening within the woman. And yet it does. That's a mamish miracle. And that miracle, the miracle of childbirth, is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu oversees himself. And therefore, when the time came for Klal Yisrael to leave Mitzrayim, ani v'lo shliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to be the one who's there. When does the process of the childbirth really kick into motion in Mitzrayim? With the Makos. Yeah? Says the Yitzchak Eisenhower, again, there's so much here, but just where it's underlined, ein psichas hakever below dam. What's the first Maka? Dam. What's the first sign that the woman is now about to start giving birth? Her water breaks, she might start to see blood. Right? So the blood that the Jews saw in Mitzrayim was a sign that what? That the birth is kicking into motion. That the birth is kicking into motion. And again, you can look at every bit of the Geula in this way. Just go to page 13, and we'll end with the last little bit from Yitzchak Eisenhower. He says, Umikol mashu kasavnu, teida v'taskil, b'tam iser chametz kol shiva, u'mitzas achilas matzah. With this we now understand the inyan of chametz versus matzah. Look what he says. Ki matzanu ra'inu she'ein hefresh ben chametz l'matzah kiyim bin nekuda achas. What's the difference between chametz and matzah? The word, the actual letters. One is a ches, and one is a hey. A ches is a wall, has an opening that has yet to be opened. A hey is the same letter, but now there's an opening. Now there's a psicha. And therefore, says Rav Yitzchak Eisenhower, that opening in the side of the hay is the opening of the woman's womb and Klal Yisrael's ability to emerge. That's what the matzah represents, our birth. Originally, initially, we were trapped. Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim, totally trapped. And then we were born. Okay? I'm going to skip the next couple of pages again. I gave them to you because they're very interesting. There's a lot here in... Oh, I didn't even write what it is. I didn't write what it's from. Sorry. It's from Rav Pinkus. Rav Shimshon David Pinkus in his Sefer on his Mamarim on Pesach and Tzvira Sa'omer and Shavuos. He has a mimer called Leidas Am Yisrael, where again, he develops some of these ideas as well. Mitzrayim, the Meitzar. He talks about it in terms also of the head and the body. And the disconnect between the head and the body, that's created by the neck, which is a very constricted part of the body. And our Kali Yisrael had to learn to connect their head to their body, and this Indian of Goy Mikar of Goy as well. Okay, let's turn to page 21. Okay, you'll have a chance, you'll look at Rapinkus. Let's turn to page 21. And let's just be Messiah in this Indian, exactly what Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chavah was just saying. Matzah versus chametz. It's not only hay versus chas. Let's come back to our Rebbe, the Shem Yishmael. In the Naos HaDesha, which is a collection of teachings on the Moadim, some on Torah as well, from the Shem Yishmael and from his father, from other members of the family. Okay, it happens to be this piece is actually found in the Shem Yishmael on Pesach, but I gave it to you here. It's just a little bit more barichas in the Naos HaDesha. Here's what he writes. This is from the Shem Yishmael. You see it says, Moharash, Marino Rav Shmuel. Okay, Rav Shmuel Bornstein. So he writes in the Naos HaDesha, in the second volume, why is chametz taken so seriously on Pesach? Why is matzah taken so seriously on Pesach? Well, if we're a newborn child, you can't feed a newborn anything. If Klal Yisrael are being born on Pesach, we have to be very careful how we provide for a newborn child, right? But Pinkus developed, one of the things that he emphasized that you don't see in these other sources, is also the idea that when a child is born, those first moments of life are very critical. And they need to be provided for. And they need to be watched over in a particular way. And that was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing for us, providing for us, sheltering us in the Midbar. But says the Shem Yishmuel, quoted here in the Noos HaDesha Volume 2, Odiyesh lomar b'tam chametz b'mashu. Why can't? What's the big deal? A little bit of chametz. What's the difference? A drop. Should be bottle, no? Hinei Yisrael b'mitzrayim ayiku uber b'mei behema. Uv'yitziyasa mitzrayim ayiku b'riach hadashu kekotan shenolad. We were born and we left Mitzrayim. Chametz, he says, is merames to the Yetzer Hara. Ulefid varenu, kemoshe muhuso sheker, kein moshech lemidas hasheker. Yetzahara, sheker, the lie of the Yetzahara, the destructive nature of the Yetzahara. So when you get a little bit older, you can have a little chametz. There's a little room for chametz. We all have chametz in our lives. But a newborn baby, to give chametz to a newborn baby, it's poison. The child can't handle it. The body can't physically handle it. Valkein ba'od ha'Yisrael kamo katan shenolad she'ein ha'itztomcha shelo chazaka adayin, that their itztomcha, it's Aramaic for stomach, right? Their digestive system was not yet what? Was not yet strong, and they weren't able to digest ma'achalim kashim, to grapple with more difficult things. So they had to be fed what? A baby is fed its mother's milk. You can't give a baby a piece of bread. V'kol ma'achalu chalav she'yonek mishteimo. If you give a child things that are hard to digest, God forbid you could kill the child. So too, when Klal Yisrael were born, we had to be fed only the finest food. The mechla de mehamnusa. The mechla de asvasa, like it's called in the Zohar. The food of faith. The food of healing, medicine. Proper food for a child. And the Shem Yishmael goes on, he says, and this answers the question of the Zohar. If matzah is holy, and chametz is unholy, so why do we only do this for 7 days? Why don't we have an Isser chametz all year round? And you're thinking, oh my gosh, that would be unbelievably impossible. Right? But why not? If chametz is the Eitz Sahara, and it's Asur B'mashu, so why only for these 7 days do I take on the stringency of avoiding chametz? The answer is, because real life has chametz in it. But for a baby, you go above and beyond. Yeah? So if you were eating something last night, you might find this gross, but it's true by some people, right? And you dropped it on the floor. You were in the middle of eating a cookie, and you dropped it on the floor. You know, 5 seconds, really, you pick it up, you dust it off. You know, it's okay, right? But if a baby's pacifier fell on the floor, even in like a clean area, you're going to run it under hot water for 10 minutes. Well, it's a baby, right? God forbid, the baby could get sick. So that's exactly, says the Shem Yishmael, why, when Klal Yisrael are a baby, when we just left Mitzrayim, Chayav Adam Liras Tatsmo Kilu Hu Yatsu Mitzrayim. Every year we're a baby, and a baby needs that extra care and extra protection. So we feed ourselves only the finest of foods, only the very pure and pristine matzah, which is the food of faith and the greatest medicine of all. Okay, this is the birth of Klal Yisrael that the Shem Yishmuel was being meramis to from the Arizal, again as explained by Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chavah and Rav Pinkus and the Shem Yishmuel himself. I want to just conclude the last two sources. You saw the title of the shir is the purification, birth, and inauguration of our nation. So we need to be inaugurated. Because there's one final step. Leaving Mitzrayim is a purification process. It's a birth. It's preparation for a wedding. And it's also an inauguration. And how do we see that it's an inauguration? Says the Chassam Sofer in his Drashos in the second volume. Shebechol ha-leilos anu ochlim chametzu matzah ha-layla hazeh. Only matzah. Says the Abarbanel. Chassam Sofer quotes the Abarbanel. Perish Abarbanel. Hainu. Lachmei toda sheim chametzu matzah. U'pesach nami karban toda v'leka chametz. Says the Abarbanel, what's the question in the Manishtana? On all other nights of the year when I want to say thank you to Hashem, I bring you karban toda. And the karban toda is made up of a mixture of chametz and matzah. But halayla zeh, the night that I'm most thankful to you, it's only matzah. But if it's a night of toda, if it's a night of saying thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything He did for us, why isn't there chametz? That's how the Abarbanel understood the question of the Manishtana. If it's a night of thanksgiving, then the karban toda is a mix of chametz and matzah. It's many loaves, chametz and matzah. So why is this karban toda? Why is the Pesach not a combination of chametz and matzah? Why is it halayla zeh only matzah? Says the Chassam Sofer, that's a great question, Abarbanel. Why didn't you give us an answer? He says, Vine, kusha gedola hizu, v'lo nimtza teretz al zeh. And there's no answer. That's a really good question. If the Pesach night is a zman of toda, it should dafka be a night like the karban toda of chametz and matzah. If that's the pshat in Manishtan, it's a really good question. What's the answer? So says the Chassam Sofer, it must be that we're mistaken. It must be that the Pesach night, of course, there is an element of toda, but that's not the essence of the night. It must be the essence of the karban Pesach, right? The essence of Pesach is not the inyan of toda. It's the inyan of what? Take a look. He says by the second arrow, V'inei karban toda ba'im lachamim matzah v'gam chametz. It comes with a combination of chametz and matzah. However, miluim ba'im matzah b'li chametz. The other way to look at the night of Pesach, yes, we're saying thank you to Hashem. But we're not just saying thank you, ki'ilu, we're remembering something of the past. Right? What we're doing is we're what? We're inaugurating what? We're inaugurating Klal Yisrael. We're being born again. It's an inauguration. It's a karban miluim. And by the miluim, it was only matzah and not chametz. Va'ata I haya karban pesach toda aguloseinu. If the karban pesach was merely a thanksgiving offering, so then of course the karban pesach should be eaten with chametz and matzah. Hayitzarech lechem chametz. Ach einenu toda al geula mitzara. But that's not the essence of what the night is. It's not a thanksgiving offering that you saved us from something of the past. Ela al tchilas halichluch. I'll explain what that means in a second. Ki mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu, uverov chasto avodim ayinu leparo, hamalach leich be'efer, kedei lechapso ulalavno. V'hayinu kekarbon miluim, shemila yadenu lavodaseinu v'ein kan makom lelechem chametz. He explains as follows. The section that I skipped, the Gemara says the following. Avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. We were slaves to paro Mitzrayim, yeah? So, hold on a second. That's good or bad? Hashem, you helped us by making us slaves, or you made it worse? So he explains as follows. What happens if a person gets a stain on their beged? What happens if a person gets a spot, right? Let's say I get some blue ink on my beged. Yeah? So to wash it, what do I need to do? Sometimes I need to add even more substances, right? I'll pour on top of that blue ink, I'll pour some blue detergent. So you'll say, what? Well, you're making it even more dirty, right? No, just wait, you'll see. I pour additional substances on. Some of those substances themselves seem to be, you know, dirty. I'm going to start scrubbing it in the water, and the water's going to get dirty, and it seems like I'm just making the whole thing worse, but eventually it emerges clean. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we were originally Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so he says, we have to undergo this process of what? Of getting sort of more dirty to eventually become more clean. And the process of the suffering in Mitzrayim, and eventually the geula from Mitzrayim, was getting more dirty to become more clean. But at the end of the day, We're not just thanking Hashem. Because the act of getting more dirty is independently not the goal. Right? Mitzrayim, the experience of Mitzrayim was the getting more dirty. The goal is when we leave Mitzrayim. Ta'avdunas Elokim al-Harazim, when we become a Kodesh Baruch Hu's people. And therefore, it's not just a Thanksgiving offering. We're not so thankful for the process. The process is very painful. Right? The process made us even more dirty. But the expression of the night is what? Is the inauguration that comes at the end. Is the acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our God at the end. And therefore, it's not like a carbon toda, which is a carbon of chametz u'matzah, but it's more like a carbon miluin. It's an inauguration. The inauguration of what? The inauguration of Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael were born in Mitzrayim. The final page, Rav Shor writes, Rav Avram Shor writes in his Haggadah Shel Pesach, it could be that this is an explanation for why we wear a kittel. Why do we wear a kittel on the Leil Seder? Why do we wear a white garment? Who wore a white garment? He writes by the second arrow. He says, "V'ulai yesh lidmos zeh l'madisa b'gemara." The Gemara says that through the 7 days of inauguration, as Moshe was preparing the Mishkan before he handed it over to Aaron Ubanov, during the 7 days of the Miluim, what did Moshe wear? Chaluk lavan she'ein ba'imra. He wore a white garment. Says Rav Shor, it's ke'ein ha'kittel. And therefore, when a Jew puts on the kittel and he sits by the Seder, right? He understands that what? He's inaugurating something. What's he inaugurating? Like Moshe was inaugurating the Mishkan. What are you inaugurating? You're inaugurating yourself. You're inaugurating Klal Yisrael. We're being born again. We're being recreated. We're undergoing the purification process of the Isha. Right? We are both the Isha and we are the child. We're preparing ourselves to marry Hashem. We're preparing ourselves to become Banim LaHashem. We're preparing ourselves to be mekabel the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to become Kohanim, and to wear the kittel. Like the Kohen who's preparing the Beis HaMikdash, right? All of these things are taking place on this glorious night. So, Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. We're undergoing a period of Eschatzus, a purification, a birth, an inauguration, so many unbelievable opportunities. And it starts in Mirtz Hashem this Shabbos with Chodesh Nisan. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should tap into it and feel that purification, feel ourselves being born again into the world and into the hands of our loving Father in Heaven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Amen.